everybody, this is Laurie Handlers, and you have just tuned in to Chandra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I'm your host. You're listening here also to bbsradio.com. And it is my pleasure to have you on the show today. I want to always start out with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which means I wish you so much peace, inner peace, peace inside, peace outside. So today's show is exciting. I have a great guest lined up who has quite a bit of experience in Tantra, and we're going to be hearing from him momentarily. And before I bring him on the show, his name, by the way, is Mead Rose. Before I bring Mead onto the show, I want to talk to you a little bit in the Tantra appetizer today about being discerning. And discernment is one of my favorite words, and it'll be something that Mead and I touch upon in our interview today. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking to you about what Tantra is and what Tantra isn't, and I've shared with you the many aspects of Tantra in people's lives, you know, as well as the sexual aspect. I've tried to make it as clear as possible to you that Tantra is really a way of life and that it has to do with, you know, surging sexual energy through our bodies, which is our vital life force, and using it to fuel our intentions and have us be very abundant in life and create new realities. I've touched on that in many shows. And today I just want to kind of give a little spiel on discernment. And what I mean by that is, it is really important that you follow your inner guidance about who you choose to learn Tantra from. It's a matter of personal integrity. It's a matter of personal safety. It's a matter of ethics. It really delves into the realms of where you are with your boundaries. And so I want to say that you should try and look into different Tantra teachers until you find who you want to train with. It may mean some inconvenience to you. You might have to travel clear across the country or halfway across the country or up and down a coast. And that's okay if it's something that you really want. And I encourage you to want it. Tantra really makes life a wonderful kind of bowl of cherries. And it's necessary to have discernment about who you choose to study with and see if the teacher resonates with you. I probably would say this about anything like martial arts or even finding a coach in your life, any kind of things, even finding a job. And mostly because we are working with the sexual energy, and as we know, that could open up a whole Pandora's box of many different kinds of experiences and possibilities, I encourage you to take on the word in your vocabulary, discernment, and use it kind of heavy-fisted, you know, like use discernment in everything you do, especially looking for a Tantra teacher. And I think Mead and I will probably cover some of this as we talk about our Tantric experiences. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome to my show Mead Rose, who is a Tantra teacher, and he's also an amazing internet marketing expert. And lots of times I go to his site to give examples to people of what I've learned from him. I've certainly learned a lot about marketing my own website, butterflyworkshops.com, and my subsidiary websites, even one I have on tantracafe.com. I've learned a lot from Mead just in a few sittings. He just is a wealth of information. So, Mead, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to Tantra Cafe.
Good to be here.
Good. Thanks. So, let's talk a little bit. Discernment just seemed to be the thing I wanted to talk about in relation to yours and my conversations. So, let's talk for a moment about how you got into Tantra.
Well, I learned of Tantra in about 1980 when I picked up a copy of a book called Sexual Secrets, The Anatomy of Ecstasy. by Nick Douglas and Penny Slinger.
I know it well. Wonderful book.
Yes. I had the book for years, but it didn't occur to me that people actually gave classes in Tantra. So I had a purely intellectual understanding of Tantra for, I'd say, 20 years before I ever went to a practical understanding. And then in 2001, a friend of mine encouraged me to actually take an Ipsilu Tantra Beginners Workshop. And I and my girlfriend did it kind of on a lark. And the odd thing is that I, doing it with my girlfriend at the time, was almost ripping myself off because all my attention was on whether she was getting it, not on getting it for myself.
Yes, so, that's a dilemma.
Isn't it?
That's a tantric dilemma. Go ahead.
So I use that as an example to dispel a myth a lot of people have, is that they have to have a partner to study Tantra. I found that I actually started to gain some facility in it when I practiced solo Tantra, which sounds like a contradiction in terms to many people, but for me, that's the heart of it.
Well, you know, Meet, I just have to say that I couldn't agree with you more, and I often encourage people to, for example, I have a 2-for-1 book special, which is if people order my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, they can come with somebody for the price of one. Two people can come for the price of one, and they say, but I don't have a partner. And I go, that's great. Bring anybody. Bring your boss. Bring your enemy. Bring your mother. Bring someone that you're not really attached to in a way that's like kind of coupledom, because it's really easier to go through Tantra by yourself and then to get the practices in your body.
I also noticed that a common thread that seems to run through relationships, and I noticed this when I was actually putting together workshops, is that couples will tend to go into complicity with one another and often restrict one another from their path of growth out of fear that maybe they'll change and evolve beyond the relationship or something.
Yeah.
So I notice it's a fair amount of the time when people would sign up for beginner workshops, it's the couples who would be late or talking to each other rather than being part of the general conversation. So
what would you advise couples? I mean, this is a great conversation about discernment. I mean, you know, just what I led into. So if a couple called you up and they wanted to have, you know, a course in Tantra, or if they called me up, what would your advice be?
My advice would be either do a beginner level course independently or have a very clear conversation that whatever course is being entered into is about learning Tantra for one's self and not as a couple. For me, a lot of the Tantra is about personal cultivation. So it's you can say it like, okay, would you rather get together with someone who hadn't taken a bath or someone who had taken a bath? My answer is, I'd like to get together with someone who has taken a bath, and I'll take my own, thank you. And that, at a very, very simple level, is the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's, take care of your own backyard, and then you've got something worth bringing to the other person.
So when you say, so this is your definition of cultivation, take care of your own. I mean, because I'm asking you this because, you know, in the Taoist sense, with the books by Mantak Chia, the multi-orgasmic male and the multi-orgasmic female and other books that Mantak Chia has written, he talks a lot about cultivating sexual energy. And could you be kind enough to distinguish for us? Do you mean cultivation like being with someone who's taken a bath, you know, kind of like that? Or do you mean like cultivating your own energy?
Well, I was being overly simplistic.
But I like the word, so that's why I'm exploring it with you.
Yeah. So cultivation, I give you an example of a cultivation practice that I do, is, and actually that Mantak Chia recommends, is a microcosmic orbit. And it at the elementary level, it starts out putting the tongue against the roof of the mouth and visualizing drinking the breath down into the abdomen and having it rise up along the top of the spine and over the top of the head. And a lot of people can practice this, but, you know, given the fact that I did, probably 20 years of martial arts before I ever got to Tantra, I have a unique understanding of it, and it makes my body shake and sweat pour out of my armpits and the small of my back when I do it. And it's the most fundamental circuit of the human body. It's present in the first division of an embryo. And it breaks if you press your tongue too hard against the roof of your mouth or too soft against the roof of your mouth. But if you take the time every day to practice it, you start to build up charge in the same way a battery does. And give you an example, I've been a body worker for years, and one of my mentors who was teaching me Zen body therapy made himself an example and for how to find a floating rib. When I put my hands onto him, he goes, "Who's that? His hands are hot." And that's exactly what happens when you cultivate. You actually have things which can be registered by another person as heat or energy. When you bring that to exchanging life force, you can have amazing reactions, you know, without even getting into sexual acts.
Yes.
You can have a tantric hug where you're, well, there are varieties of tantric hugs, but one variety is you're using synchronous breath, charging breath, and a person can feel the amount of energy that you have if you cultivate. Or the opposite end of the pole, if you did no cultivation, the energy would run from them to you, and so you'd be, instead of being a reservoir of energy, you would be a drain of energy. So,
well, on that thought, I want to stop for a second. We're going to stop and take a little commercial break, but I want to come back to this because I think it's really, I think it's a great point, and I want to actually have others be able to visualize this, because this is really in essence a big part of Tantra, how it is to move the energy in oneself and how it is to move the energy between oneself and another or others or the world or whatever. So let's hold there for a second and we'll come right back to that. I'd like to just pause for a station break. You are listening to Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm here with my guest, Mead Rose, and we're taking a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Laurie Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now.
Okay. We're back. This is Laurie again on Tantra Cafe, and I'm here with my guest, Mead Rose, and we were just talking about the definition of cultivation of sexual energy, and Mead was talking about leaving off how you could build a charge in your body such that another person could feel the heat or feel energy sensations coming from your body. And what it would be like the difference between being somebody who is a reservoir of energy versus somebody who is a drainer of energy. Me, this is so critical because there are a lot of vampires out there.
Oh, amen. I say, you know, all that stuff about the blood, think about it as if it were energy and you'll have it.
Right. So this is great. So describe to us a practice where if two people, let me just say this. I have had the experience of running energy with somebody across a room. You know, somebody else who was running high energy, I'm running high energy pretty much all the time. And I met someone by just simply looking, you know, kind of scanning the room, not even on purpose, but just scanning the room and then going, whoa. There's somebody over there who's running energy at about my level. I can really just connect with this person, and we never even have to talk.
Yeah.
Like, it could just be this amazing exchange of energy across a room, and it could actually feel like an intimate encounter, whether we actually meet afterwards or not.
Yes, so, I call that a West Side Story moment.
Actually, you reminded me it could be a South Pacific moment, some enchanted evening.
You will
meet a stranger.
From across the room.
That has happened to me. It happened to me. This week, it's interesting, I'm going to be on a panel. Every 6 months, I'm on a panel in New York, a sex and sensuality panel, part of the New Life Expo in Manhattan. And also, they have a raw food and yoga show. And I'm on the panel, and occasionally, I'll just sit down on my chair at the, you know, like a raised platform where there's like six other speakers or five other speakers, and I'll look out into the room and some enchanted evening. Or the jets and the sharks.
Or if I'm presenting, I make an effort to connect with each pair of eyes in the room,
mm-hmm.
but there's some where the energetic connection energizes me rather than... you know, so like someone who's falling asleep in their chair, I've got to push energy to them.
Right.
But then there's the reverse where I'm simply electrified.
Yeah. The other part, the energy drain, the depleter, is somebody who's like falling asleep, twiddling their thumbs, not paying attention, or they look like they're in a trance.
Yep.
And the other people are feeding you as well as you're feeding them. So it's like kind of an equal energy exchange.
And to return to your topic of discernment.
Yes.
One thing that happened was really nice. I'm 55 years old now, and my hormones died down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
so I have less pathological attraction going on, and much more energy discernment. So if I'm in a room full of various people, you know, some men, some women, some looking better than others, I'm looking not quite as good,
mm-hmm.
what I'll be tending to concentrate on is the quality of the energy coming from people rather than their external looks.
Oh, that's fantastic. That really is fantastic. You know, that's such an important point. I mean, I've said to people also, you know, when they start really having a tantric life, well, when they first embark in tantra, I say to them, you know, if you want to attract a partner, be aware that your partner is probably not going to resemble anything like what your picture is. And as you grow into more Tantra, when the people you will attract will be on an energetic level rather than on a, you know, some looking better than others, or some looking older, or some looking younger, or some's energy is more this or more that. It's more like whatever your energy or my energy is attracting these days, that's who kind of comes in. Rather than, you know, a particular look or a particular, a particular era or decade.
Right.
Partners can be decades apart in Tantra or any kind of thing.
Right. I also found out in the world of Tantra, I think there are distinct phases, and as one explores. And the kind of the first phase is self-discovery and self-liberation sort of a thing. And, you know, when you find out you're not subject to the constraints of your past, there's a tendency to go, oh, my goodness, freedom. And I call that the kid in the candy store effect.
Okay.
But I consider that a phase.
All right.
What I've actually found now is that I've become more discerning about exactly who I want to be with and exactly to which level I want to be with. So when I was younger, I would fall in love. And falling in love is sort of like I'm not in charge of the process. And now what I do is I actually place myself in a state of love. It's a conscious process. It's not unconscious, not out of control. It's quite conscious. So,
well, good.
Yeah.
I want to explore this with you a little bit. So this is great to talk about these phases. So the self-discovery, self-liberation, that's actually what you were referring to in the beginning of the show, where you were talking about how sometimes couples can get in the way of each other when they're first embarking on a tantric path, because the being in couplehood or coupledom, having another person attached at the hip, so to speak, or one who can point out one's flaws or nudge you in an inopportune moment, or look to see what you're doing, like if you're having more fun than they're having, or the fear of growing, that actually gets in the way of an individual self-discovery and self-liberation. And that the self-liberation is actually the fear that a partner has, like, oh, my God, my partner will get liberated and I won't.
Yes. And I actually heard one member of a tantric couple I respect a great deal say, you know, I'm really happy with my wife, but if she left, I'd be really happy anyway.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. You know, and he's perfectly committed. He'll probably stay married to her till he's dead. But in terms of the fear of separation, he was free of it.
Right.
You know, so.
Right, and that's an amazing freedom. And yet, I know it would scare the living everything out of certain people who have sort of bought hook, line, and sinker into a way that's been handed to us as a marriage. That we're, you know, many marriages stay together through fear. So that's great stuff that you're distinguishing, and a great quote. Now you describing yourself as a kid in a candy store, that means that you all of a sudden in your freedom, you were let into a world where you could get as much candy as you wanted, right?
Sort of. It's like I started picking up, you know, rather than chasing after, quote, attractive women, I started to notice the women that were dropping their handkerchiefs in my general direction. And as a man, when you start to do that, you can get a whole lot luckier than you've been before.
So you're not chasing, you're actually getting invitations.
Yes. And well, how it's nice. More like recognizing invitations.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know,
it's
how
subtle.
Yes, some people get into the conundrum, you know, where they say, well, how come the people I'm attracted to aren't the people who are attracted to me and vice versa? Well, as part of the Tantra thing, I started to recognize on the basis of energy the women where the feeling was mutual. And there was actually a partner on the other side of the tennis court, you know.
This is great. This is great. Okay, so that's, yeah, somebody to play with, somebody to hit the ball back. I love that. I love that. So now we're going to the discernment phase, which is, I don't know if you called it that. Did you call it the discernment phase before I went into this whole thing?
Well, I do use the word discernment, but kind of the place I would want to go is, there's a point where you realize where it is you need to do the work, you know, like what's missing. And I realized, just as a brief history, that I had issues with my stepfather when I was a teenager. And the way I dealt with them was to cover them up with armoring by becoming a martial artist.
Mm.
And it's sort of like... you know, putting on a new coat of house paint without cleaning out the basement. And so for me, what I need to actually do is dig in, and it's sort of the emotional equivalent of taking out the garbage, dealing with the yucky emotions. And when I do that, I'm bringing less of my baggage to any interaction that I become a part of. So this has given me a whole new view of relationships where, you know, some people can enter into relationships. It's essentially two garbage pails meeting. And I realized that to bring my best self to a relationship, I need to do my homework.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I do my personal, spiritual, emotional homework, the more I can recognize someone else who's done a similar level of homework. And that's the discernment piece. It goes hand in hand with the work on the self and the cultivation.
Mm. You know, it's very key what you're talking about here. I often describe it to my students as I used to be a big hugger. Like, I used to hug people a lot. And now I bow in namaste, which means I, for the listeners, I bow to the light in you, or I bow to the god or goddess in you, rather than hug everyone, because there's some people's energy that I don't want to mix my energy with. And I didn't have that boundary or know anything about it until I was practicing Tantra for a good few years. Like, I didn't notice my sense of smell. For example, as the senses go, my sense of smell is heightened now. I don't like colognes or perfumes anymore. I used to have a whole top of my dresser filled with perfume. But now I don't have perfumes, and I don't even like most essential oils. Like, I'd rather just have nothing, you know, like smell the essence of a person or not engage with their energy at all, just bow to them. So I think what you're talking about here is, you know, once you or me in this case, or anyone who's listening out there, has cleaned themselves of emotional garbage, we don't really want to step back into the dump. You know,
exactly.
we'd rather just stay a little bit separate. Even so, I mean, we're knowing that all energy is energy. You know what I mean? Like, we are all one. And some people have just cleaned themselves a little bit more than other people. It's back to the bathtub. Do you want to be with someone who's taking a bath or not?
Yes, although there's a little caveat in there. I had a Zen therapy instructor who was a Zen priest, and he said, well, we have a rule about only working on people who you find nurturing. But the trick is that the farther along the path you are, the more people you'll find nurturing.
Right, right, yeah. Right, right, right.
So
Right, exactly. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
So I like this. And then we, you know, I'm feeling, I want to get into this whole fall in love versus state of love thing, because there's more to it than in the discernment conversation. And I'm feeling now that I would like to take another break for a moment and come back to that. And then we'll also find out about how people can get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you and what you're teaching lately and stuff. So let's just take another commercial break. If you've just tuned in, this is Laurie Handlers with Tantra Cafe, and you're listening to bbsradio.com, and I'm here with Mead Rose, and we are discussing the topic of discernment on the tantric path today. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Laurie Handlers with Tantra Cafe, and you're listening to bbsradio.com, and my guest today is Mead Rose. And just before we go back to our conversation, I want to let you know that the music you just listened to is a piece called Asha, and it's by an artist, Asha Putli, on the Asana 3 Peaceful Heart CD. And that's a piece that I also use in my Tantra classes. I use that pretty much in a trance dance kind of a setting, and sometimes for an exercise we do called yoga boxing. So that's the piece for this week. And now Mead and I will continue talking about where we left off, falling in love versus being in a state of love. So Mead, what do you want to say about that? Because that's a powerful topic right there.
Well, as I got acquainted with Tantra, I got acquainted with the chakras or power centers in the body. And then after learning those, I learned about circuits. And it seems, how can I describe it? When you really get conscious of the circuits, you start to notice that there are certain things which kind of happen automatically. For instance, given that a man is yang in the region of his genitals and yin in the region of his heart, he'll tend to draw energy in the heart and out the genitals, whereas a woman is yin in the genitals and yang at the heart, and so she'll tend to pull energy in at the genitals and out at the chest. this forms a perfect circuit between man and woman. And in Tantra, you know, shorthand, you can call it the genital heart circuit. Well, that kind of thing can arise spontaneously, and we can fall into it and not necessarily have volitional control over it. As tantrikas, we actually do have control over the energies to the point where we don't have to always go with our default setting. Another little side note, I noticed that when the feeling of jealousy arises in me, that it's actually a genital heart circuit that's dropped down to my root chakra and my power center. And I went, oh, that's really interesting. Rather than a sort of sex love circuit, now it's degenerated into, oh my goodness, I'll die if I don't have her, and well, then I have to try and control her, kind of an energy going on in my body. So I, as a tantric man, I had to learn how to elevate that back up to a genital heart circuit. The reason I mention that is because we think that we're not in charge of that stuff. And there are people who, rather than go inside and learn how to redirect the energy, put it all on the other person. So they go, oh, I can't live without them, or whatever they're up to. And the focus is the other person rather than the energies going on in their own bodies. And so there's a sort of a, oh, how do I describe it? There's a falling away of certain myths about relationship when you get into Tantra, or at least when I get into Tantra. I'm look first at what's going on in my body, and second at what's going on with other people. That's at least, you know, a start of the topic.
Terrific. That's simply terrific. I mean, you know, Osho has something to say about that too. I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but he says falling in love is a big mistake. There's nowhere to fall to. The only thing there is to actually, you know, relate and stay alive, you know, like alive, like with the life force relating, rather than falling into something that's, you know, where we're giving our power over to somebody else is a total mistake. So I think what you're talking about is choosing the choice to be in a state of love, which is to be loving both to self and others, to come from a heart space, to come from love, to come from a clean, I want to emphasize clean heart space, and worry less about putting someone else really in charge of our fate, or putting, you know, like abandoning ship of self and just becoming like a victim of relationship. And I think it's really wise, and certainly Tantra has taught me that. I talk about it as an inner marriage. I've married my inner male and female, and so I'm complete.
Right, and so you don't have to. Well, let's see. The way I looked at it for myself is when I have that sort of feeling of falling in love, what I'm actually doing is I'm sort of putting my hopes that whoever I have that feeling about will rescue me from myself, from the parts of myself that I can't be with. And the work to do is to fulfill those parts of myself. Now, there's a whole other take of building a relationship as a team, you know, appropriate role assignments, but I think before you can get to the team building phase of things, you have to acknowledge and clear the neediness aspect, because then the role assignments would occur out of some sort of expectation or family history or or avoidance of trauma related emotions or something that doesn't have anything to do with who's best suited for the role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I kind of look at it as putting the relationship, if there is such a thing, like putting that, forming a bond that has serves a higher purpose, and then letting the participants who are pretty clear get in, you know, serve that higher purpose through the relating to each other. Like finding a way to serve something on the planet, serve something in the world. Like, for example, mine is women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And I have a partner currently who also wants to do that dance. So together we, you know, and I have a bit, and I also have someone who partners with me in teaching, you know, who also serves women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And, you know, as does everyone who actually comes on this show. So it's kind of like everyone's taking their appropriate role in that particular mission that I have. And then I take roles in their missions. And if it's an intimate relationship, it's got to be on that page or I'm not in it.
Yes, I remember a conversation I had recently with another tantrika, and we were talking about instead of relationship first, it's God plan first. And if a relationship fits into the God plan, then it can go forward. But
right.
If it starts as a relationship, you can't necessarily fit it into the God plan.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, sometimes it looks like the war, you know, the war of the worlds or terrorism. I used to say I was a terrorist in my relationship. So, yes, I totally understand that. And it makes perfect sense. Let me ask, let's tell people how they can get in touch with you. If they want to go to one of your websites and see something that you, you know, some of your Tantra stuff or something just about your internet expertise, because we're sort of coming down to the end of our time.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll say a few websites really quickly.
Yeah.
One about my internet marketing coaching is called newearthartsarts.com. And I have a blog and a newsletter there, and it's basically background on what I can do for people. That's newearthartsarts.com.
And arts is New Earth Arts, A-R-T-S. No
yes,
fancy,
plural.
Funny way of spelling it.
Yes.
Words.
Of course,
okay.
You can Google my name and
Me
find
too.
Out a whole lot about the many different things I do. MEAD.ROSE, if, for lack of anything else.
Okay.
I also have two Tantra sites out there. One is TantricArtsInstitute.com. It's kind of a hodgepodge. Started out being scholarly, but then I wanted to let people know about all the teachers out there and started gathering names and putting up pictures. But basically, it's an examination from a fairly scholarly point of view of the various traditions out there. And then an easily memorable one that I started as an experiment based on the public perception that Tantra is all about sex was hottantra.com.
Oh, I love that.
And I figured, okay, people want their dessert first, so okay, I'll give them their dessert first. So it's all... It's responding directly to the public perception that Tantra is all about sex and figure, you know, give them their chocolate first, feed them their broccoli later, you know.
Well, you know, that's exactly why I named my book Sex and Happiness, because people, that's really, you know, I don't care how people come in the door.
Right.
You know, if they come in the door and they get introduced to higher consciousness through the door of sexuality, that's the perfect way to get people at peace. So let's go for it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, as a man, one of the appeals to men is to be able to last longer in bed. And so part of the thing is you acquaint them with exercises that they can do, but really, if you really, really want to get good at that stuff, you have to become a tantric yogi and do what they call white tantra or the solo practices.
Yeah, that is so right. I'm so glad you said that. It's really, you know, you're a wealth of knowledge about this. I'm really glad you were able to make it to the show and talk about these things. It's we've covered some excellent territory today, you know, in terms of being discerning and whether to go to Tantra with a partner and how to, you know, whether the phases of Tantra. It's been excellent. Is there any particular piece that you'd like to, maybe you could leave people, I like to leave people with Tantra takeout. Could you describe that microcosmic orbit again, just quickly?
Microcosmic orbit. Basically, it's the fundamental circuit of the body, the first one to form in the embryo. And the way you can feel it is if you put the tongue on the roof of the mouth, you feel for the exact degree of pressure where it's not pressing too hard, not pressing too soft. Tongue is pointed straight up, and it'll start to quiver. If it starts to quiver, that means the energy is actually coming through. And if that's all you get, that's really good. And then you just sit there, letting that quivering build. And as you breathe, eventually, you can feel it creep both directions from the tongue and the roof of the mouth until it consumes your whole spine, activates your whole body, makes you sweat. To me, it's the most foundational piece is the microcosmic orbit. And I actually tie it in with a couple other circuits, that of my the soles of my feet to the ground, and then I put my hands together so that my the hoku, the point between the thumb and forefinger, I connect my hokus together. And that way I have sort of like a triply linked energetic chain in my own body.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for leaving us with that gift in the takeout portion of Tantra Cafe. I appreciate it. I thank you so much for being my guest today. And I look forward to further conversations with you out in the Southwest, in the Phoenix, Scottsdale, Sedona area, where I will be soon. So thank you, Mead. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes. And for everyone else, all the listeners, I thank you so much for being with me today. You can write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com if you have any questions about the show. You can hear my shows at tantracafe.com. You can find Mead again at, we can say, hottantra.com, and that will lead to some of his other sites about web marketing and other Tantra. And I look forward to seeing you on my next show, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Namaste.